So, good evening, everyone. Today, believe it or not, it's Thursday, July 26th, and we are 6:03 calling to order the Board of Directors meeting for First State Montessori Academy here. My name is Dwayne Sims, and we'll start actually on our far left, work our way around with those present, board members present.
Courtney Pfaff.
Natalie
Marciani.
Sarah Nagel.
Jed Donahue.
Angela Anthony.
Dwayne Sims.
Megan Newberry.
Janine Salomon.
Courtney Lockney.
Sarah Grant.
Z Gallons.
Excellent. Thank you all. I'm sure we have that duly recorded. And then for those that may come in, we'll make sure that we announce at that moment as well for those who are not here. Again, good evening, everyone, and thank you for coming. We appreciate your time and attention, obviously, to what we're doing at the school. Thank you very much. So, as you know, we'll start off, as we did last month as well, with our public comment section. We have several members of our families here in the community that have elected for public comment. So we appreciate that, and we want to make sure we honor that. Just as to reiterate the basic, obviously, rules of decorum, et cetera, that we've all come to appreciate. 3 minutes, you'll see me just kind of raise my hand. So if the person maybe who will be speaking at the time doesn't see it and you see it, do me a favor, just kind of give them a quick nudge if you don't mind. Again, it's more so just a reminder. We do try to keep it that way for efficiency purposes and make sure that everybody has an opportunity and we keep the meeting moving along. Basic housekeeping rules you've all probably seen as well around some of the general policies around speaking about specific individuals, teachers, students, etc. Those things are prohibited. So in the spirit of obviously being fair and transparent, everything else is on the table. Okay, so we'll get started with our very first. Should I announce? All right, I'll go ahead and announce. We have our first public speaker today, a public comment, I should say, Mary Marsler.
Okay.
Mary, please go right ahead.
I wanted to follow up. Well, I wanted to start off with not understanding why this wasn't on the calendar, and that was an issue with a lot of parents have some concern with that. Parents are trying to become more involved, and it's hard if that information is not out there for parents to engage. I wanted to follow up on two other things from the last one, which is it was brought up about trying to incorporate more diversity into the staff at FSMA, which I think is really important. The Chicago Tribune actually just published an article talking about the key of success, academic success of Black boys being having African American teachers that they can relate to, especially male ones. And there's actually a resolution passed that Delaware is lacking, and maybe we need like a committee or some thinking outside the box to consider, you know, if we can't find teachers, like what other ways can we have these mentoring relationships so that all of the kids can look around the adults around them and see people that they can relate to. And then another thing I was just kind of curious about from the numbers that we were going over last week was the student numbers seemed off, and I was wondering if that is just students that left since the end of the school year, or included the students that left mid-year, because I know we had, I think, at least like 10 students leave mid-year last year, and I would hope that that would have been included in those numbers. And those were the two things I wanted to kind of bring forward that I hope you can address.
Mary, thank you very much. We appreciate it. And far underneath the three, plenty of time to reserve. Left over, too. Thank you very much. We appreciate the comments sincerely.
Just so I understand, was the meeting not posted? Is that what
it was not posted. It was not posted on the calendar.
On the on our website?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
thanks. Our next public comment, we have Tony Stepik. Tony?
Good evening. Thank you. I did want to bring up the confusion of board meeting tonight. It was like there wasn't supposed to be a meeting until September, I believe. And then there was, and then there wasn't. So it was somewhat confusing. And of course, schedules needed to be rearranged and what have you. So I don't know what the solution is to that. But the other thing I did want to bring up was not to add insult to injury or what have you, but the public comment is at the beginning of the meeting, but that's my opinion, it would be more beneficial, I think it would be more beneficial to have it sometime closer to the end of the meeting to maybe discuss some of the topics brought up in the board meeting. So, for instance, sometime after your business or what have you, because the topic could easily come up this evening, and then I would have to wait until the next board meeting to raise a question. And then there's a lot of time that passes, and maybe I can't make it to the next meeting. So, anyway, that's my two cents. Thank you.
Awesome. Tony, thank you very much. Appreciate the comment. Thank you, sir. Our next public speaker, Anna, step in.
Thank you.
And I'm always going to...
It's Anna.
Anna. I thought it was. Thank you, Anna. I appreciate it.
That's
Anna,
okay.
Step in.
No worries. So everybody's already talked about the confusion over tonight's meeting. So that's a big deal because a lot of people were watching the calendar, looking at the calendar to see like what it was going to be. I had asked specifically about the July meeting because I thought there was one last year, and I was told, no, it's not until September. So I was like, okay, planned my month. Tomorrow's my birthday. There were plans to meet today. There was a play date. My daughter, you know, we were going to try to attend. Other people were trying to go too. So of course, no, well, it can't be. That must be the reason, because there's a play date for FSMA. We're not a large school. We don't have to schedule around a multitude of things. That must be it. No, last night I was at 10 o'clock, I found out that no. Sandra said, no, Jeff said there's working tomorrow night. I was like, are you sure? So, okay. Then this morning I get a Google notification that tonight's meeting was moved until October. I was like, okay. So I emailed Dwayne and said, I'm thoroughly confused. I was told that there wasn't one until September. I got a Google notification from the school calendar that it's been changed until October. Please let me know, because parents are asking me what is it? Is it on? Is it off? So there's a lot of confusion. It's a school that's been in existence for 4 years. I think we should be able to get the calendar right. It's not rocket science. Parents are here and want to be involved. It is clear that on a day's notice, a night's notice, less than 24 hours, we got our butts in these seats. Had we had 2 months' notice, there would have been a lot more people here, because last month there were a lot of conversations that were had here, and people wanted to know the results and what the board came up with. So it's very frustrating to put your time and energy to have such chaos. It's chaos. So the oversight that the board needs to have over administration needs to be immediate, because this should not be happening.
Anna, thank you very much. Appreciate your comments. We also have our next public speaker, which is, and correct me if I'm wrong here, the last name, Judy Byrne.
Sure.
Byrne, excellent. Okay. Judy, thank you. Please go right ahead.
Sadly, this is my first time in attendance. I will try to make it more of an occurrence. But I just wanted to see if there was, you know, if we could talk about maybe some of the disappointing staffing changes that I think, you know, the parents and students are disappointed to hear some of the people that have left and as key players in, you know, my students' life. And, you know, and are you prepared to fill those positions by the start of the school year? And also, you know, is there, you know, are you finding out at the, you know, when there is turning in a resignation, what that, you know, why that is? You know, is it that they're moving, or is it a job opportunity, or is there, you know, dissatisfaction?
Excellent, Judy. And if, just for the record, I think, do you mind, never mind, I just remembered comments. Thank you very much. I appreciate your comments. Thank you very much. We will move on. I think the next public comment here, we have a few left. Shamba Donovan. Mr. Donovan. Hello, sir.
First of all, I wanted to say thank you. I've been singing your praises for the past month. I appreciate the reforms you kind of started last month. with one letting people speak, you know, regardless of where it's scheduled, and hopefully you don't take away the next thing about the thank you later in the meeting. Thank you for the email address.
Sure.
I really appreciate that, you know, obviously all of you are volunteers. I appreciate that, you know, you have limited time, and whatever you can do, and I think they're probably small steps to make the board more accessible, so you kind of hear more viewpoints, I think are good. So thank you for opening the comments. Thank you for the direct email. Those are both very constructive. I also wanted to talk about the, obviously I saw the same thing that, you know, as of this morning, this wasn't on the calendar for the site meeting. I don't think this meeting was a secret. I mean, Courtney confirmed it to me on Facebook, so, you know, I don't think this was something there was any conspiracy to hide. But it is kind of thinking about, as volunteers, what are some simple ways we can kind of improve the communication about this? And I kind of was brainstorming some ideas that might be simple ways you can kind of let people know. So I came up with a few ideas. And again, I'm trying to come up with simple ideas that volunteers in their spare time can do, not like some onerous campaign. Some things I was thinking of, and I realize summer is probably where you come up with like the new calendar for the next year, but having a calendar a year ahead of time for when the meetings are, so you can get that on the website so it's a year out. And that'd be once a year. I also thought with back to school, if you had that calendar for the board meetings of the year, if you kind of made that available with the back to school night, you know, that's going to end up on some people's refrigerators. And I think that would be an easy way that you could do it. On a monthly basis, I think if you had a Facebook post the day before, or 2 days before, or, you know, whatever the cadence is, that's just said, here's the agenda, and, you know, that would be very helpful. I know the newsletters don't always line up to the month, you know, so sometimes it varies with the schedule. But when there's a newsletter that month, just to make sure there's a little blurb somewhere in there that, hey, the next board meeting is here. And that would be monthly or, you know, whenever the newsletter comes out. The other thing I thought would be very simple would just be to post when the next meeting is in each lobby. Because at the end of the meeting, you could just go and replace it with next month. So you're already here, it's just a matter of flipping it out. Now, you know, obviously you might come up with different ideas. And I think, you know, oh, maybe the lobby is going to get ripped down, but we can post a banner here or something. You know, maybe you have different ideas. And I think it's less important what the specific things are, but just to have a cadence we can continue with. So that, you know, I think if the meeting was known, maybe the play date would have been a different night, because, you know, it's hard to schedule around something you don't know about it. Mm-hmm. And if it was consistently on the calendar, if there's a consistent announcement on Facebook or the newsletters or the front entrance, but just whatever we can do, given your volunteer times, to have kind of a simple process where not just, not keeping it a secret, but kind of actively doing a little bit of outreach, I think would, one, probably get some more voices here. I think also, even if people couldn't make it here, if you had kind of a consistent blurb, you know, at 6 p.m. in Carousel Room, the lower school, and you can have comments, and with your email address, you'd be, with kind of a consistent blurb you have in all these places, that kind of simple communication plan, I think, would, one, get some more people here, and also even if parents didn't get here, they'd feel that you were more accessible. So if anyone said, well, I didn't know that, well, you know, here's how we're communicating. So I think kind of thinking, looking at today, I think, is a problem, and I agree with the others that the problem that it wasn't disclosed, but how we can actually communicate it going forward, which would be great.
Sean, thank you very much for your comments. We appreciate it, Mr. Donovan.
Sure.
Thank you, sir. And the suggestions as well. Thank you. And our last public comment for this recorded for this evening, we have Erica Richardson.
Hi, sorry, I actually don't understand you. I'm sorry.
No worries. We'll go ahead and.
I realized I put yes instead of no. Sorry.
No worries. All right. So we'll let the record reflect. I'll also bring this back. Over here for those, I know we had a few folks who joined us late, but I should say after the start, just for signing purposes, if you will, okay? Obviously, public comment, you do request that you sign in and request public comment beforehand, but you do really request that you sign in as well, if you want. Thank you very much. All right, so we'll move on through the rest of our agenda. Again, collectively, we appreciate the comments and suggestions that were made. I do think it does warrant making one general comment. I know there's been a lot of concern expressed this particular evening around the meeting, this evening's meeting, I should be specific. And as a matter of protocol, we typically don't make it a point to use public comment section of our board meetings for a town hall type forum, if you will, for lack of a better description of a format. I can say I do want to encourage folks that I know when I did get your email, Anna, the first thing I did is I sent, you know, I can take, it's easy for me to take things for granted, right? I've been on the board for a few years now. I know when the meetings are as well. And so I went to the school website to take a look and see, you know, how easy is it or not easy is it to find this information, right? So I began to click around. I can say after a few clicks, I did find that it is posted on our school website that we do have board meetings the fourth Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. So I do encourage everyone. Now, there are very few exceptions to that. The month of August is traditionally one of them as we lead into the new school year with the children returning, what have you. However, I do think there are some, obviously, some suggestions that were warranted and obviously comments as well warranted that we make sure we vet as a board and as a body to see that if there's any additional way that we can continue to make sure that we clarify exactly what's supposed to be happening, that we do so. That's obviously on us as a board and our responsibility to make sure we're doing the best job that we can with respect to that as well. All right. So I thank you for obviously listening to me outside of what might be traditional protocol. Much appreciated. We'll move on through the rest of our agenda. As you can see here, to my fellow board members, we have the approval of our June 28th public board minutes. As I always say, I do presume that we've received and reviewed them in advance. So, of course, I like to open it up if there's any questions or comments or concerns, amendments, notations to be made around those minutes. It's a great opportunity to do so now.
I do have one comment in terms of attendance.
Angela?
I am noted as regret, and I was present via telephone from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. So just for the record,
excellent.
Make sure that that's correct.
We'll make that adjusted, please.
Thank you.
Excellent, very much. Any other adjustments or notations to be made by our board members as a result of review of the public board minutes from June 28th? Being none, do I have a motion to approve those minutes?
Moved.
Janine Solomon, recorded. May I second?
Second.
Jed Donahue is a second. All those in favor, say aye, please.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Abstention? None recorded. Passed. We'll move on to the next item, and that is the approval of our and review of the June 28th executive session minutes. Of course, delivered in our packet earlier as well this week. I know, of course, as you know, there's an executive session, so it won't be much with respect to discussion during the public portion here. So I'd like to hear a motion for approval of the executive session minutes as recorded.
Moved.
Janine Solomon, recorded, please, as a motion to approve executive session minutes. And I hear a second from our board.
Second.
Thank you very much. That's Courtney Lockney, recorded as a second. May I have a motion to approve? Excuse me. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Abstentions? None recorded. Motion passed for the approval of executive session minutes from that board meeting as well. All right. That jumps us into the next section of our agenda this evening. That's our committee reports. Of course, in the approval review of a narrative report for, my goodness, June 2018, I'll turn it over to our board treasurer, Mr. Zeke Allenson.
Thank you. Well, as you know, we've concluded the 2018 school year, and our expenditures came in at about 94% of where we expected them to be. So we were under budget, which is always good news at the end of the year. Our cash position is that we have almost $1.1 million in the bank. There are some components of that are already designated for certain things. summer pay reserve, which we set up every year, and that every time the school grows and we get more teachers, or teachers get additional certifications and earn more, we have to set aside an amount to cover any possible closing of the school in the future so that there's enough to pay everyone over the summer, since the fiscal year ends on June 30th, but teachers get paid through the end of August. We've also, I think this is the third year now, set aside $25,000 in a special reserve to go for building maintenance. This is as a result of the engineering study on the new building next door. They identified in that study that there are certain things that are going to need to be taken care of: HVAC, exterior architectural skin matters. So we're just trying to put some money aside for that. With the 25 that we're going to put aside now, we'll have $75,000 sitting there for that, which is just a drop in the bucket, but at least it's something. That leaves roughly $917,000 as a carryover. Of that, however, there's one large item for capital outlay of about $112,000 that was budgeted in 18 for the renovations that are going on across the street that hasn't yet been billed or paid. It's going to be billed or paid. The work has been done. So we're just moving that right from where it was in the 18 budget to a similar line in the 19 budget. That leaves what we would call a carryover for operations of just over $800,000. There's a couple of smaller issues we're looking into just to make sure how certain bills have gotten paid. One item that we're trying to run down is whether a double payment of rent in August of last year has brought us current, or whether we still need to make another $33,000 payment to our landlord. So we're working with them on that. If it turns out that that double payment didn't bring us current, then because of a shortage in the prior year, then our carryover would be that much less. Well, I guess the carrier would be the same, but we'd be obligated to pay that. So if we call it a carryover of somewhere between $800,000 and $900,000, let's call it $800,000 without that moving that capital outlay money forward. And while we haven't started with next year's budget yet, or to say better, we've just had a preliminary start for next year's budget, and we'll be working with our consultant next month to try to get a handle on that. But the projection for the end of next year at this point, as compared to the 917 for this year, the projection for next year is 229. So as you can see, we are continuing to deficit spend. We knew we were going to be deficit spending when we got into this renovation. Next door, it's going to continue for a couple of years. And then our projections show that we're going to build back out. But that's where we are at this point.
Thank you, Zeke. I appreciate that. I think it's open to the floor now for any questions, comments, or concerns around our Treasury report as presented. And I think maybe to even facilitate a little more conversation around that, but I always like to clarify comments around deficit spending. I think it's important that we make sure for the record we clarify around that point. So I think, you know, I don't want to put words in your mouth, Zeke, as treasurer, but if you don't mind, maybe just giving some color context around that particular comment.
It's deficit spending out of a surplus carryover that was provided for by the original founding board in year one that has been carried forward every year. So it's not the kind of deficit spending where we're looking at insolvency because we don't have money to pay bills as they come due. It's the kind of deficit spending where our surplus is getting smaller from year to year.
Okay. Excellent. I appreciate the clarification and context there. Thank you, sir. Any other comments, questions from our board members?
No, I think that's a really good clarification because, again, I mean, I think we talked about this last month, but a number of schools, charter schools, as they've expanded, have done so by taking on debt, taking on loans, and some of them have really suffered, you know, shut down even because of that. So
true.
I think that kind of, Zeke, I appreciate that, and CBOC and Finance Committee, that attention to it over the long term to you know, prepare for this sort of trough period as we go over the next couple of years. So it's really, really important management. Thank you.
And I want to recognize our school leader, Courtney, and of course, our consultant, Karen Thorpe, previously the business manager at Colonial School District. They're very key in identifying these issues and keeping them on the front burner.
Certainly a collaborative effort, right? We've been looking at this for several years over the course of finance, and so we prepared for these particular moments, these dry moments, and obviously it put us in a position for a growth period, even though it was quite fortuitous, actually, the way it may have even, you know, presented itself to us. But obviously for the benefit of our families and the community, we've been in a position to do that and grow, supply 7th grade, 8th grade education, free Montessori education, correct? And as well continue to grow organically at the lower levels as well. So you'll see that not only here in the lower school, but you'll see that as we go through the upper school as well. So with that, I think I don't want to cut anyone else, but if there's any other questions, comments, concerns for our report.
Then we would need a motion to post the monthly report.
Yes, sir.
And the monthly narrative that were circulated in your package. And just in case anyone got the monthly narrative, there was a typo on one version. I don't know what finally went around, but under general, there's a bullet point and then two lines that start with less. And one of them says rent payment, but that's been changed to maintenance and building reserve. So just make sure everyone's got the right version of the narrative.
Excellent. Yeah. That be duly noted underneath the general section, right? Yeah. Less rent payment should be for building maintenance as described in the initial report. Thank you very much, Zeke. We appreciate that. May I hear a motion from the board to approve the posting of our narrative cash flow finance report for June 2018? Mr. Jed Donahue, with a motion to move, approve. I hear a second from the board.
Second.
Angela Angeny, the second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstention. None recorded. Motion passed. Thank you very much again, Zeke, for a very comprehensive report. Appreciate that, and also for the discussion that followed. We'll move on to the next agenda item. You'll see listed is our head of school report, of which there are several bullet points. Our head of school is going to be presenting underneath our designated report. So,
just some updates, Courtney. On a few of these things, and I'm going to switch up the order a little bit because it makes sense in a different way to lay it out for you.
No, you can't do that. Just joking.
So I'm going to start with safety because that'll lead us into one of the other ones. So this month we had six staff members in a variety of different roles attend DEMA's first annual school safety symposium. We talked about that at the last board meeting, and the different workshops were there. There were about 200 people there, including different first responders, different agencies, schools, and police officers. So to have six of the 200 being from here, we were took up kind of our own table, and we're definitely a presence there. The day consisted of a couple different things. The first part of the day was a speaker that we all listened to, who was actually the principal at Columbine High School during that time. and definitely set the stage for the day. Gave us a lot of incredible information, a lot of actual just learning from him and his experience and things that he went through that our team all kind of took notes on diligently to bring back. And then the afternoon was a variety of workshops. So different of the six of us, we all kind of picked different ones, made sure that somebody was in every session, taking notes, getting information. We kind of strategically mapped out who would be where and what everybody was doing to make sure that we could get as much information from the day as we could. And so we kind of looked at this piece as kind of a getting kind of the oversight of best practices across the board. And then next week we meet with Department of Homeland Security here to look at more site-specific, right? So we take all these general principles and general ideas, then we go, okay, now it's applied to us. And that leads to some questions that we have and some more information that we want to find out about. You know, we want to ask them things to consider based on our location, based on our population, based on our age group, like all those types of things that now we can kind of hone in and look at it really site-specific to us to be able to make any changes from that. Which leads me into the volunteer policy that you all got. So one of the things that came out of the DEMA meeting and some other meetings is that there was a request and a recommendation that we consider a volunteer policy. And so the team that day really talked about this because we decided that if we were going to move forward on a policy like this, we needed to do it sooner rather than later to be able to put things in place before the school year started. So the team that was there that day really kind of took some time to think about a volunteer policy and spent some time looking at what other schools are doing, getting some feedback, and together worked to create a volunteer policy. It's the only one that we're not waiting on Homeland Security, again, because we looked at what the norm was around us, and we needed to happen quicker than that in order to have people here kind of on the ground to start the school year, which we know that we need. So we did decide to move a little bit quicker on that one to make sure that we were giving parents enough time to be able to complete it prior to the school year starting. So the volunteer policy was sent out for you to review, as well as the documents that would be with that before anybody can volunteer in the school, which seems to be the norm of what other schools are doing. And like I said, we've heard from parents that that was a request. And the recommendation from DEMA that day was that anyone who's entering the school has this sort of clearance. And so based on that information, that's what we sent around to discuss tonight and to potentially vote on so that we can put it in place before the school year starts. We understand the turnaround time is about 3 weeks for us to submit the forms in for them to be reviewed, so we want to make sure we do that as soon as possible.
So just to be clear, are we calling this up for a vote as well? It's your recommendation based on the DEMA. That's my question. Excellent. Thank you. Okay.
It came from the team that was there that day.
Okay. But the recommendation, though, from DEMA is that this be in place as well. Is that correct? Okay.
That's correct.
That's best practice. Excellent. Thank you very much. Okay. I don't want to interrupt the rest of your presentation, but please, we'll circle back.
Come back to that one.
Yep,
okay.
Thank you.
The other piece that's on here, it says staff acknowledgements. And one of the things I shared with Duane is that I've been going to state board meetings, and one of the things that they do there each month is that they recognize something going on in the state. So I said to him, there's so many great things happening here that I'd love the chance to acknowledge some things that are happening. And so hopefully we'll be able to continue this and look at this as a common practice for us. There are two staff acknowledgements tonight. The first is we have a team here that's doing kindergarten camp. So Sarah and Annabelle and Jen are here representing a larger group of our K-1 teachers. It's all K-1 teachers doing it, right? Mm-hmm. Sorry. And so one of the things that we have as a unique feature is what we call Kindergarten Preview Camp. It was an idea started by a group of teachers a few years ago to help kids acclimate to kindergarten, to just give them some practice here, to give them a chance to know where the playground is and know how to, you know, what our expectations are for sitting on the carpet and what snack's gonna be like and have a couple familiar faces to be able to make the transition to kindergarten a little bit easier. And it's open to all of our incoming K's. There is a cost associated, however, we do give scholarships, and this year we did give many scholarships to families that reached out and said we want to attend, but it's just not feasible, and every person that asked was given either support or a full scholarship to attend kindergarten preview camp. But it's really about acclimating and preparing, and I also wanted to give them a chance to just talk through their experience of what they're seeing is kind of, to put you guys on the spot, of just some of the benefits that you're seeing and some of the feedback that you're getting from families and kids as you guys, you know, come into this every day. You guys are ones here. So I'll let you guys jump in. Anybody?
So Sarah, Annabelle was there for the first yesterday. So Sarah and I completed last week. I think it was a great opportunity for the students as well as the teachers and the parents as well. The students benefited. We could see students in the beginning that were a little shy, and you know, you just noticed that they were a little apprehensive about coming into the building and everything. And then by the end of the week, they were very comfortable coming in the classroom, greeting the teachers, and making friendships, which we thought was the main goal of the week, was really that social interaction and really forming bonds, like Courtney said, with the teachers as well as with one another, so that when they come in August, they have some familiar faces, whether or not that person is in their class or their teacher, or if it's just someone that they see on the playground or just within the building. But I think there's also a benefit for the teachers as well. It really gave us a chance to get to know some of these students on a very personal level. I think there was only 12 children in our class last week, and we had three teachers. I think the best part of our Sarah and Bill Graves, just kind of snack time. Each teacher got to sit with the fourth and just talk and get to know them, you know, in a non-pressure situation where it's not academic. So for me, it was a great experience. I really enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to seeing all those kids that I had last week in August.
Yeah, it was really fun, and it was as much fun for us, I think, as it was for the kids. And we got to sit back and observe because it was such a small group, so that we can give information for placement purposes, and also just so that whatever class each child is placed in, the teacher can have a little snippet of information, like, oh, he really likes squids, or she needs to have someone else with her who is gonna bring her up, or whatever the case may be. But we really did have a lot of individual time to talk to each child and make them feel comfortable, so that when they start school in August, it's not like, what is this place? Who are these people? There will be at least three familiar faces, and plus all of the familiar kids' faces. And it was, like Jen said, it was really low pressure. We did art projects. We taught them how to roll a rug. We taught them how to sit in a circle, walk in the hallway with our hands behind our backs and quietly, because we still think there will be people in these classrooms that were walking by on the way to the program. Looking forward to next week.
So huge kudos to those teachers for coming out for 2 weeks. There's so much we have to do that. No one's doing algae tonight. Anybody else have anything they want to add before I go to the other one? Fabulous.
I want to say thank you. I appreciate it. It's a very important part, right? I mean, I think I know most folks here have some children that are a little older, but I remember that those times are, you know, they're filled with trepidation in these children, right? They are very, very nervous. I mean, my daughter's nervous about going to sixth grade. It happens. And so what you're doing is obviously laying a great foundation for the framework later on. So we appreciate it. Thank you very much.
So it's Sarah, Jen, Annabelle, Ellen, Natalie, and Dorothy. Dorothy then. Have all taught kindergarten kids this summer, so to acknowledge all of them.
Wonderful.
The second staff acknowledgement that we have is that I asked Pete to come tonight, and Lori's going to talk a little bit more about the renovation, but I wanted to acknowledge for you all the work that Pete's done on the renovation, because he's kind of our on-site expert of the building next door, and he, having him here and having him know that building so well, has allowed us to troubleshoot some things, has allowed us to stop some things before, because he knows where they're heading, allowed us not to put some walls where we needed some walls, right? So just having somebody here that knows the buildings and is on site checking in every day, working with their team, has been incredible. He's been really in a partnership with their lead person. he has come in at odd hours to let people in and lock up and all different things, but really just being that person on site and his help with the renovations has been immeasurable and huge. So I wanted to make sure that we took a moment to acknowledge that tonight as well. So he's here to acknowledge that. Any questions or anything anybody wants to?
Well, I'll tell you this. We had a tour, right? I've been fortunate enough to see pretty much the major phases, right? But the floor, it looks absolutely fabulous. So any role you had in that at all is highly appreciated because, of course, it's a huge undertaking. Huge undertaking, and I can't state that enough, right? I mean, I was just going there, right? And it happened very quickly, so anyone who's done any demolition work, any renovation work at any scale can appreciate the time it takes, but not only the time, but just the mental energy it requires to stay on task. And to Courtney's point, to have you here as a local resource, right, who understands, who's been with us for some time now, and so you understand the building and what we'll be doing in that building going forward too, I'm sure it's been an immeasurable help. So thank you very much. We appreciate it, Pete.
Yeah. As a teacher, I'd like to say thank you to Pete, because when they tell us we're going to move, it never happens, and we're here, the night before school starts. So I will happily report back to the teachers that the rooms are gorgeous and they're ready. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's beautiful, yeah, beautiful space. Beautiful space to learn in, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I'm ready to move my office in there, to be honest with you. Awesome.
And it conforms for you.
Yeah, that's right. I'll sign up, believe me. Excellent. But thank you again, Pete. We do appreciate it.
So the other item that's on here is a renovation update, and I'm going to hold that. Lori, the president of GGA, is here to kind of go over that with us tonight,
okay,
as part of that next piece. So I'm going to let her jump in when we get to that.
Hold off and go there. Okay, great. So then I think that brings, thank you very much, Courtney. Appreciate the time and obviously the updates there. I do want to bring the board's attention to around to our volunteer documents. I want to get one point of clarification, and then I think we're going to have to maybe give an interesting time discuss this a little bit more here at this moment, and then maybe even we'll see if we have a motion based on the board's comfortability with these items at this particular time. Fair enough. So point of clarification, I'd like to first bring up to help facilitate the discussion around this. I know it mentions background checks here as well, which we've all had to undergo, so we understand that. And that's no uncommon occurrence, quite frankly, when you're talking about children being involved. So I do have a question around payment for those, though. Is this self-funded, meaning the applicant pays for that, or is this something that the board is picking up as a result? The school is picking up as a cost, an expense?
So the background check is only for field trips that extend beyond the school day, and we actually typically do not take parents with us on those. We typically staff them with all staff members.
Okay. So when you say that, you're talking about, for example, to go to the library?
No. Extend beyond the school day.
Right. I mean, we typically only do trips like that, and so this would not apply in a situation, right. I should have been more clear.
Sorry.
Such as going to the library or going to the Grand or something,
yes,
like that. Okay.
So if it occurs within the school day, there are three forms that we're suggesting, which are typical in many of the districts around us. It's a disclosure form, it's a TB health form, and it's the child protection registry request form. That's the one that a parent would fill out, and we would send in, and it would be cleared by them, so we would get notification back if there were any concerns.
Mm-hmm.
So none of those have any cost associated with them.
Excellent.
So they fill it out and then bring it to the school, and
we send them in.
Oh, that's
nice. They can also do it online. I just haven't been able to get clarification about how we get that communication back then, whether they have to tell us that they've done it, and we have to go back. I have some questions out about that. So right now we're suggesting that it's turned in and we send them in to be able to receive them back.
And control the communication as best as possible.
Then we know who's out there.
No question.
And we know when the turnaround happens, rather than if someone fills it out, we don't know if they've done that.
Mm-hmm.
To know that.
Streamline it.
And again, as we get more clarification on that, that might change. Mm-hmm. Again, it's one we're moving a little bit quicker on because of the time frame.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing it with the information that we have right now.
as I look at the school volunteer form itself, right, listening to your explanation, which makes total sense on how we implement and apply the need, if you will, or potential need for a background check. I'm not certain that that's wholly clear necessarily, as we go down to authorize FSMA, so on and so forth with the language there, right? So just showing, I think, and this is probably a larger, more comment than anything else, and essentially leads to a question, is this, hopefully this is because we're just looking at it now, I would hope that this, maybe any recommendations get taken away as a living document, right? I would imagine absolutely that that's the expectation, right? That this is a breathing document, that if there's, as we vet through it, as you go through the machinations of the process as an administration, you find that, okay, we need to tweak it here or tweak it there. This is not a static document, correct?
Yeah, and we are not creating the document from scratch. Mm-hmm. It is a combination of most of the districts around us document. So all of the common pieces, we just took and adapted right from there. Some of them we adapted because we're only one school, and so a district sure doing it has different questions because there people are volunteering in different schools or different moving from school to school, so there's a little bit some different things that happen that way. But I will not take credit for creating the document.
Understood. No, I think that's a great thing. I mean, best practices, lessons learned, et cetera, those, they're there for a reason.
I'm sorry, can I interject? Go right ahead. I just want to get back to the point you raised and what specifically we are doing, because I know you made it clear that background checks were for field trips that extend beyond the school day. But what we do say here on the form is I authorize FSMA mm-hmm to review my personal background. What precisely are we contemplating by that statement?
So what my understanding is that if something showed up, if someone checked off yes or no at the top, mm-hmm, then we could go a little bit further with finding out information. Mm-hmm. Right, so if someone checks one of those boxes.
No, I understand. So, but this is a blanket statement. So right. I guess what I would suggest is a brief modification to say, to clarify that we are only doing a personal background check in the event there's any yes disclosure above. We can make the wording sound better, because as this read to me, this makes it sound like if I sign this, you're going to go do some search, which may or may not deter some parents, but I think we just need to make it clear.
So can you give me the language that you want?
We'll do it off that.
Yeah. But it's also very important too. That's really where I was going with that secondary question, right, is around how are we implementing a background check, because, and in what scenarios, because language from a verbiage perspective is not necessarily connected from one to the next. I think you said it way more eloquently, Janine. Thank you. I think it's just as a matter of protocol that the record reflect, our board member, Aubrey Nance Phillips, has attended as well. Thank you. Thank you, Aubrey. Good to see you.
I mean, I think that the caveat to all of this is that there is a potential that we are going to minimize parents being able to volunteer in the school. I think that that's a real concern, the amount of parents that we have. However, we believe that
I'm sorry, safety is the first concern.
And that's where we are. And that's why we're at the place where we're recommending it.
Excellent. Okay. Any other questions or
think?
Yes, please go ahead.
I'm thinking about moving furniture over the next few weeks, just as an example. If a family were to bring a child with them, whether that's a second grader or a 17-year-old to help lift things, would they need to fill out the same forms?
What I think other schools are doing is that it's during the school day, yes, so when kids are here. So if you're coming to volunteer at an after-hours event, so like at Happy Hearts, for example, parents volunteering for something like that is not during the school day. We might have some different language around that. Right now, this is just around during the school day at FSMA or on a field trip.
I don't know if there would be a similar circumstance where someone under the age of 18 would come in to volunteer.
Yeah.
It's possible, but I just wonder if there would be different forms for that or no forms or how that would
work. Yeah, when we were talking about the group that was there that day, we kind of went around on a bunch of different things of like, okay, so what about X and what about, mm-hmm, and trying to figure out how to make it so that
kids are safe.
But that we're also not creating such barriers that we can't ever do anything, you know. And so one of the things in here in the language talks about it's not for events. So if you're coming to school for an event, there's language in here that says that, I think, in the policy. So if you're coming to a concert, you're coming to an event like Happy Heart, those types of events where you're an audience member are different than a school-based activity. And so that's where we drew the line, is that where you were coming to be an audience member at an event was different than a participant. Mm-hmm. And again, that can be...
Join school rules.
Yeah, that can be... like I said, that's where we landed as a team that day. Mm-hmm. We might find that that's becoming too cumbersome or not cumbersome enough, but not, you know, we might find some areas that it's a starting place.
Would that also apply to any, so if people come in to do their birth celebration, or a grandparent, anybody who enters the building needs to do these forms?
So if they're coming to be an audience member at their kid's birthday, right, so they're an audience member.
It's an event.
That's an event.
During the day.
That if they're coming to teach a lesson is different than coming to be an audience member during a presentation. So a birthday celebration is almost like a presentation in the classroom, so that parents could come to presentations, mm-hmm. right, okay. as an audience member. We did the same thing.
I guess the question would be about potential for liability, right? So if a volunteer was helping out with doing lunches, right? There may be an opportunity for a student right. to be there and a teacher not be there. You know, okay. doing a birth celebration, you know, I've come to those. The teachers are there. I never go away with the kids. Like, it's never me by the kids by themselves. If there's a potential for a child to be alone with an individual, I think that's where the liability lies. Yeah.
So that what it says in the policy is the exception is for when parents or adults are visiting the school as an audience member for a classroom or school presentation. So a birthday would be a classroom presentation.
Well, I think I would tend to agree. I think it's reasonable to assume, right, that it's a reasonable expectation, both in practical nature, but also from a liability standpoint, that it's quite difficult to ask every parent who's going to come into. Do we do that for parent teacher, as well, right? How do we administer that? Where do you draw? It's a pretty slippery slope.
You still go get ID from those people. Mm-hmm. I know that they sign in.
Correct.
So I would feel comfortable with everyone making sure that mm-hmm. who are in the buildings are who they say they are.
No question. Yeah, sign in is a standard. I know that's a current practice that our front desk staff are tasked with executing as well. Okay, so I think for me, and I'll say this for the rest of the board's edification as well, it's my personal opinion, I think this is a good start. I think it will require, for me anyway, as an affirmative vote, that it has the ability to be vetted on a continual, ongoing basis as a living document, as necessary. But also, because it does require, and this is my caveat, because it does require board vote, approval at this particular moment, that any changes and modifications be brought back to the board as well thereafter, as opposed to just made thereafter and not vetted and brought back for vote and review. I think that's prudent and in line with what we're doing now. Any other questions, though, or comments or concerns? I think, Jed, maybe you had something.
Yeah, I'm just curious. So to be clear, I'm very in favor of having a policy that protects the children and safety. That's wonderful. I do have a question about, do you foresee, what's going to be the impact, because this is such a volunteer culture, workroom, school lunches, everything else.
It's a great question.
And if I'm filling out forms in triplicate, I'm just coming in and do some photocopying, again, I'm in favor of the policy. I'm just wondering, as a practical matter, what do you, I guess we don't know, but do you have any sense of, have you heard from other schools how it has affected volunteerism?
I have not. I think you're right. Our community is very different. Right. And I think that we're going to need to figure out how to make this as user-friendly as possible.
Right.
And how to communicate about it in a way that makes it not so scary. Because I think that they are scary forms. I think you look at them and they're,
right.
But I think at the end of the day, if people want to be here, it is where we are.
Like I said, I'm in favor of the policy. I just want to make sure that the school's prepared.
I think we're going to have to put some thought around it. I mean, one of the things that a group of teachers were talking about is around this, because we talked about it, is the workroom really necessary at this point, right? Like, so we've gotten to a place where materials are made, classrooms are ready. The group of teachers that I was with kind of said, you know what, if that's a place that's hard, you know, to manage, and maybe that's a place that we can take the volunteers that are there and move them into some places where we really need volunteers or some of those pieces. So they're already thinking about it as we talked about it and trying to think through which areas might be ones that we could streamline so that we make sure that our resources are used appropriately. And that was one of the things that they came up with.
Are you talking about sort of a multi-tiered volunteer screening depending on what these volunteers will be doing?
No.
I'll just interject for a second. I mean, on paper, it may seem like an intimidating form, but in reality, it's not. Mm-hmm. I would say in reality, 99% of our parents are going to say no, no, no on this disclosure form. And by and large, any parent that would have anything to disclose is probably not going to volunteer. So I actually don't think that this is going to be really create much of an obstacle for anybody. And I just think it, quite frankly, legally protects us in a way that, you know, maybe we should have had before, but, you know, we're moving forward now.
I totally hear that. I just have to point through two other forms you have to fill out along with it, then.
Yeah, but these are...
Well, the TV test might be in there. I mean, if they volunteer with any other, I'll fill it out. I'm just saying, this is just sort of a form that you're just... Hold on just a second. Let's just localize. Again, I'm in favor of the policy. I'm just saying it's kind of any barrier to entry you raise to something, no matter how low, you're gonna knock some people off. It's just this school runs on volunteers in a lot of ways, so I just want to make sure that the school is set up to, if there is. Now I hope there is no drop off.
I'm just raising the question. You may have already been planning this, but I would suggest this be with the packet that goes out to all parents when we're filling out a gazillion forms. It'll just be another couple forms in that packet. I think you'll probably end up getting more. It may even prompt more volunteerism because there'll be no this form. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, I filled that out. Great.
Excellent.
I think it's also a timely part of the conversation based on how current events are, based on, you know, the recognition from the state having their first annual conference and bringing this community, the entire safety community together to talk about what is best for children and how throughout the state do we make sure that we are doing everything possible to ensure that all of the steps are in place to take care of our kids. And so that's, you know, that's the big conversation starter. And then being able to have a federal agency, you know, take a look at what's happening right in lockstep with it. We have, you know, both a micro and a macro view, and then a look at our own personal school. And it's all very timely to the beginning of our next year, where we begin our fifth year, where everything has been based on what is safe and best for children. It just adds another piece to enhance, that's exactly what I was going to say, to enhance that safety for our kids.
Excellent.
So I think it's an excellent step for us to be taking, and a timely one as well.
Angel, thank you.
And that's from someone who helps to organize volunteers all the time. So mm-hmm. I think it's important for our kids.
Was this recommended at the at that conference by DEMA?
It was not in the session that I was in, but it was in one of the other sessions that a group went to. They came back and said, here's a huge recommendation that came out of that. Let's consider it.
It's a best practice throughout the state.
So I have concerns about this. I think in some ways it's way too lax, and I think in other ways it's really overreaching. And I agree that it's a good policy and we should do something in this regard, including possibly initiating it right away subject to revisions. I think our legal counsel should review this. Mm-hmm. I don't want to get into going through specifics about it, but you know, I just note some disconnects between sort of what's on this form and sort of what, you know, we all have done. For instance, while we've had the fingerprint and criminal background check, I don't recall, and maybe we did this, did we do a DOE tuberculosis health questionnaire? I don't remember doing that.
I did.
Yeah, well, but you're not in school.
I had to do it for
we're
the
not
life.
In school on a daily basis with the kids. That's related.
Children, right?
That's a pretty
access,
difficult
access to the children.
I mean, as volunteers on this volunteer board, are we supposed to, you know, execute these documents, or is the idea that if you're a volunteer for something that requires a fingerprint and a criminal background check, then you don't need to do any of this? I think we talk about, on the policy here, the proposed policy talks about all volunteers be thoroughly screened. Well, I'm not sure this is a thorough screening when it relies on self-reporting. These disclosure questions to me, without being verified by an independent agency like the state police, it concerns me. I know that's a time delay issue, it's a cost issue, and that's why I think it's the kind of thing we ought to run by legal counsel. I'm just not sure we're setting ourselves up for having put in place a policy that's really not that stringent.
So when we talk about earlier, these are really good questions. In particular, I'm in strong support of, in most instances, as we administer and govern the school around legal review, I'm always tend to be in favor of that. So I'll say that that's a very, very, very good point you raised there, Zeke. But I think that also may fall underneath the umbrella of, as we talk about, a living document and review, right? So I think in the interest of school starting, and we do not have and this is again my personal opinion, this is not a vote yet, right? Nothing has been brought for vote, so this is just my one opinion as a board member I'm stating. I know we don't have a board meeting in August, and school begins at the end of August. So we do have to deal with the true and real parameters that we have around time as well as we move forward. That stated, I think Courtney, as a head of school, maybe reaching out and communicating to our legal counsel ASAP around this to get an opinion at the very least, right? I think maybe a caveat around, I would attach onto any vote.
Approval subject to mm-hmm. counsel.
That's right.
Review.
Exactly.
We do have three attorneys in the board, including you, Zeke. So we have a little bit of legal experience.
A little bit,
on the board.
Right? That's right. That's right. So I'm comfortable personally with that upon review. Thank you, Courtney.
And Gina, would you like to
sure.
step out for a review, or do you guys want to review? Sorry, I just want to make sure I understood that last statement.
I think if we approve it at the meeting today, assuming we get the requisite vote, I would suggest that approval be subject to review by our outside legal counsel and having them sign off on it. In just because I understand Zeke's concerns,
mm-hmm.
But I also understand that these forms are principally based on what everybody else is already doing in town.
Correct.
So it leads me to believe that it's probably been vetted already, but we should obviously take care to make sure we do it ourselves as well.
Due diligence, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. May I make a recommendation?
Just very quickly, I think Sarah had a comment she wanted to make, and we'll come back
to the timeline
as well.
Yeah. Just a quick question: is the expectation that these will be filled out every year if a parent is a family member is going to? Okay. The TV one says completed every 5 years.
Okay, so we can keep that on file.
Yeah, just to keep. Mm-hmm. And then because we will be keeping it on file, I like how the TV one says, you know, store it in the school nurse's office in a confidential manner. I'd like to see something similar to the confidential nature. You know, there's a little concern that maybe you'll have volunteers processing these reports.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of sensitive information could be shared in the if yes category.
Mm.
So maybe just a comment on how these will be handled internally.
Yep.
Thank you, Sarah. That was great.
So just... Janine, do you want to write, or someone, sorry,
mm-hmm.
Want to write that language like you were going to write the other language before I send it to outside for review. So you were going
to
add some language.
I already wrote the language here that I wanted to add here. And then we're looking at other language relating to confidential treatment.
Confidentiality.
I will cobble something together as we move forward, and I can read it to everybody before they vote on it.
Excellent. And again, this is recommended language, but it does not, you know, indemnify us from having to obviously still go to council review thereafter. Thank you, Sarah, for bringing that up. And I know, Angela, you had a comment as well.
I was just going to say, from a timeline standpoint, could we approve the concept this evening, set a deadline for input, which it seems will be the end of the evening now, but I was going to suggest if people had specific things that they wanted to get back either by the end of tomorrow or the weekend, and then it goes to council on Monday once it's been...
Is
now
a fresh
document.
I think a revised draft can go around and we can send it out Monday.
Which is essentially where we are, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, excellent.
I'd be happy to review and comment on that as well.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
All right. So I think let the record reflect that Courtney Lockney had to step away 3 minutes ago. Thank you very much. Any other questions, comments, concerns around volunteer policy? All right, excellent. So I think, generally speaking, and I'll put this as, again, based on the discussion, which is on the record anyway, I hear a motion to approve the creation of a policy around our volunteer status and reporting for the school, of course, subject to further review by not only our internal board members, who happen to be counsel, which is always great, but also by our external counsel as well. Any motion for that?
So moved.
Janine Solomon, for the record. Seconded by Zeke Allenson. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Abstention? Motion passed. Excellent. Thank you very much. Courtney, I want to thank you very much for bringing this to our attention, and obviously to the families. I'll send that regard as well for their involvement. It's the way it's supposed to work. Thank you very much. All right, and I'll jump into our next bullet point around around new business, and I promise to be brief. The very first bullet point is around board of director updates. This is actually a new addition to our agenda that you'll probably see on a rolling basis. You should expect to see on a rolling basis. I know that there's a lot of good work that happens from our board of directors that just goes unrecognized. And I'm talking about internally, right? But amongst ourselves, where you might be having a conversation with anyone around First Day Montessori and all the work that we're doing and everything that we plan on doing. This is really just a segment that I was speaking with Courtney, our head of school, and I think it's a great opportunity for us to share with each other and to share with our audience, our family, our community, and those who choose to listen around all the work that we're getting ready to do and that we do on a daily basis that's not necessarily publicized, right? So it gives an opportunity for you to say what you're doing. For example, this past weekend, this past weekend, I was visiting out of town at an event and bumped into an old friend and colleague who happens to work for the New Leaders Organization. New Leaders Organization essentially is a not-for-profit organization, and what they end up doing, what their mission, I should say, is really to transform education through the leaders themselves, right? So they're actually working directly with educational leaders, particularly in schools that are focused on those in impoverished neighborhoods or for students of color, right? And the way they try to do that is by working with these leaders through practices, et cetera, policies that support them towards successful schools. The short story here, this gentleman is actually, who I've known for well over 20 some odd years, is the, I want to get his title right here, National Executive Director of Program Implementation for the organization, right? The reason I'm bringing this up is we're sitting around at a mutual event, and I'm talking to this gentleman about what we're doing here at First State Montessori Academy here in Wilmington, Delaware. This man lives in New York, right? Works in New York, but he's the national director. Why am I talking to him about what we're doing in Wilmington, Delaware, outside of the fact that he is in charge of that particular program nationwide? you know, this, we always talk as a board about relationships. We always talk about direct and indirect leading to fundraising. We talk about not only just local, but outreach as well outside of the state. So I'm bringing this as an update of the kinds of conversations that I'm trying to have in my capacity, not only as a parent, right, because I want to see my kid have the best education possible as well, but for the school and my role as a board chair. This is the type of stuff that I know that is happening in every one of these seats, right? And so it's an opportunity for you all. I figured this is a great way to create and carve out a section in the agenda. Doesn't mean that it has to be one every month. But I do think that when it does happen, we want to highlight it. So when you are having those conversations, when you are taking steps around, several of you participate in other not-for-profit organizations, right? Or for that matter, at your place of employment. Wonderful opportunity to highlight how you're connecting the dots with First State Montessori and what you do every day as well, so that we can help promote each other. Who knows how some of these other dots can then connect here and then carry on somewhere else. So you'll see this section as our executive secretary goes out with the board with her notice a couple weeks, usually about 10 days to 2 weeks out front, and ask for committee minutes or so on and so forth. This is a wonderful section for you to say what you've been doing. Again, it is not mandatory. It is here simply so that you can have the opportunity to voice exactly what you're doing if it doesn't necessarily fit into the traditional agenda item, okay? So I wanted to bring that up for you all as well. And for the record, right, I mean, these New Leaders organization is working with some significant corporate partners. I mean, I was pretty impressed. I have the list here if you want to see it. I mean, we're talking Capital One, Quest Foundation, Regions Bank, Wells Fargo, et cetera. So as we start to really continue our efforts around development, and I pull this up after the fact. I just know the gentleman, right? I didn't realize they were. These are people who are doing 5,000 or more between July 1st and June 30th, and you see the list. Right? So, you know, we want to make sure that we're making the most beneficial relationships, right? Those HPAs, those high payoff activities that I always like to mention as best possible, and see where they take us. DC. SN Summit.
I have one update on that front if you want to take a minute.
Oh, please. I'll give you all the time you want, Janine. Are you kidding me?
So right ahead. On the fundraising front, I've talked about this at other meetings in terms of relationships. My family has a relationship with Charlie Horn, who is the founder of the Horn Entrepreneurial Program at UFD. His family is originally from Delaware. He now lives out in Arizona, but he's very still involved in Delaware communities and is very interested in all things entrepreneurial in nature, but he's also charitable in nature.
Mm-hmm.
I spoke with him and his wife at the end of this month and talked a little bit about the school and what we're doing and how wonderful we are and about our renovations. And how, but, you know, all of those things cost money and, you know, talked a little bit about, you know, what most people don't know, which is that charter schools do not get facilities money from the government and how we were fundraising for this project.
Indeed.
He, of course, because he personally endowed the program, but also was very big in fundraising for the Horn Entrepreneurial Program at UFD. He has a lot of relationships here of the type of people who support those things. So they will be coming here in the fall for some business. I suggested particularly Mrs. Horn, Patty Horn, was very interested in coming to see
sure.
the school.
Excellent.
So I think that we should make it a point to have a nice red carpet sort of event and show them what we're doing. Because what I said was, ultimately, I said, look, to the extent you could introduce us to some folks that you think, based on the fundraising you've done, would be interested in supporting this kind of organization, we'd really appreciate those connections. And they were open to those types of things. So, I mean, I wanted to follow up on that since you brought it up.
Wonderful.
There.
And, no, this is exactly yeah. what we're looking for. Thank you, Jeannie. Mm-hmm. That's great. Now, and I think it's very important, right,
yeah, Aubrey?
Big and small, right? I mean, I just want to be clear. I know the bar may seem pretty high right now with these conversations.
Sorry.
But that said, I want to be really clear, right? The section itself is really for big and small. These conversations, and I know these things are happening every day, right? We're having these conversations with people, whether it's someone in the office, right? And, you know, a parent pulled me to the side. They heard me. Actually, they saw me print something off the printer. I don't even I should say that. But I printed the agenda off. And they're like, oh, First Day Montessori. You know about First Day Montessori. I'm like, you know, I don't want to say I'm a board member out of the gate, right? But, yeah, I do. My child goes there. And it led to this wonderful conversation about promoting to this parent what we're doing at the school. Now, who knows where that may go, right? So these types of things, big and small, is what this section is about. And I'm glad it worked out the way it did. Aubrey, please go right ahead.
I'm a volunteer for the Franklin Institute. I volunteer.
That's work.
I'm a board member for the PACS alumni, and that's a group of minority students who came through working at the Franklin Institute when we were in high school.
Wonderful.
25 years ago for me. Mm-hmm. But we give out scholarships every year. And through that relationship, I've been talking to the vice president of the youth programs. And so in those conversations and in building a new program and helping them build that new program, you know, wanting to see where first they could get involved. So
sure. Excellent.
But, you know, I'm meeting with them on Monday, so I'm going to be having some more conversations.
This is what it's about. Excellent. Thank you very much for the efforts. You know, it reminds me, actually, I know that we did the walk, Mariano Rivera Foundation, and that program, that was what, June? Or was that May?
It was
May, right?
May.
My goodness, the summer's gone. But I know, right? Well, but they're doing a backpack program here in August,
yeah,
right? In Rodney Square.
Before the meeting started, Natalie and I talked about it. At that event, which is another nonprofit that I did some work on, I spoke to the executive director about perhaps our school partnering with them. I don't know if they've done it the last couple of years where they give out free school supplies in Trolley Square. To inner city kids, and it's really, and Mariano Rivera comes to the event, and it usually gets
very gracious with his time. Yeah.
So I'm actually going to reach out to her, and I think Natalie's going to try to coordinate something for this year, again, because supporting our community involvement as well as this is a relationship that we would like to continue to build with the Rivera Foundation, because if you've read about any of the work that they do, we sort of check a lot of their, tick their boxes,
sure,
and they're
sure.
very, it's all about education and advancing those students and putting them in a position to succeed, and some who might not otherwise be able to.
Get that opportunity, right?
Yeah, so it's a relationship I think we need to continue to build, and I think one of the best ways for us to start that relationship is giving of our time to them.
Indeed.
So,
reciprocity is the key, isn't
yes,
it? Yes,
so.
Indeed. Indeed. So, yeah, I ran, and I'm looking forward to giving out book bags.
Is there a date for the compilation that you know off the top of your head, or something we can circulate later?
Yeah.
I'll try to find out. I mean,
you can probably post it.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure that they have it all, but I just haven't been in touch in the last couple of weeks. I've been out of pocket on other stuff.
Okay.
Thank
Excellent.
You.
So that's what that section is about, everyone. Please, again, and feel free to communicate with our, you know, our secretary so that we can make sure that we bullet point it, get it on the agenda, give you appropriate time to speak, and keep everything organized and efficient. I'll move on. The Delaware Charter School Network is having its annual Leadership and Collaboration Summit. It was included in the board packet that went out last week. So you'll see there is a link, to the Evite. It's being held next week, Friday, 8-3, between 9 and 4 at Newark Charter. It's open to all board members and administrative team members from the school. So I encourage you all, if you have the capacity to go, that you register, you can click right on that Evite register and participate. I'm sure the Delaware Charter School Network, Kendall Massett and team will appreciate having us there. I am in the midst right now of trying to clear my schedule for next week, Friday, to be there because I think it's important to do so. I'm hopeful that's the case. Plus, it means I don't have to go into the office. So that's pretty nice, right? Just as a quick highlight, again, it's open to all board members and administrative team members, touching on agenda items such as best practices for employee engagement, culture and climate, special education, There will be lunch served and a networking event, legislative wrap-up, so we can find out about everything that's happening down in Dover as well and how that will, may, or may not impact us. Budget and what it means to our schools, which as we, Janine just highlighted a moment ago, right? We're pretty unique as a charter school in that, yeah, sure, we get state money, but we don't get anything for all these buildings that you see going on, the renovations happening, and any other hot topics for the year that the DCSM may determine that can help our schools. So again, I pull this bullet point just to encourage you all to go back to the email that went out last week. If you can, clear your schedule and attend. We do advocate that you do. It's Friday, August 3rd, between 9 and 4 at Newark Charter School.
Just a comment on that.
Yes,
having
please go
had
ahead.
The opportunity to attend it last year, unfortunately not being able to attend it this year, it is time really well spent. Mm-hmm. Not only do you get to learn the current state of what's happening for charter schools in the state, but it provided some great network opportunities and also a chance to then be able to reach out and find out about best practices or see what's happening in sister schools or ask questions because there was a face that you could then relate sure. to the topic. So if you can attend, I would highly, highly encourage you to do so for the fact that you leave not only with knowledge, but your own expanded network. And I made a couple of great friends that day too. So
yeah, can't go wrong
it
with
was
that.
A day well spent.
Excellent. Thank you for the content. Mm-hmm. Very much appreciated. You'll see board member email addresses is the next bullet point. So I'm working right now with our head of school, Courtney, around making sure that we all have a dedicated board email address that ties directly to the .fsma.de.k12 address, all right?
Nice.
And then obviously then we'll be able to have that link to our biographies and such on the board. I think that should help facilitate. So I think there was a comment, if not several, earlier today around communication and opening lines of communication as well. So that is in the works. I want to keep you all abreast. I think we'll probably go with this standard naming convention if everyone is fine with that. If you're not, send me and Courtney maybe something on the side. But standard.
The name's not straightforward. So I started the list and yeah. I started with Zeke and I was like, Do I go Zeke? So I stopped there and I was like, Dwayne, can you just ask everybody what they yeah. want their name to be? So if your name is not straightforward or you don't, it could be something else. You might think it's straightforward. I don't know.
Right.
If it's not, what's on the, I'm looking at everybody else is pretty straightforward.
Right. And I'm thinking we just right. go with the placard, right? But I mean, again, if there's something outside of that, you know, we don't want to go, we want to make sure it's clear so folks know who's who, but the standard naming convention is first name dot last name at there it is.
So Natalie and mine will
mm-hmm.
do the same.
Yeah, okay. So something to consider there, which is a good segue to board member biographies. I think we touched on this before, but if you haven't, or for that matter, if you have, take a look. Just make sure that it's current. It's exactly what you still want. Folks, I think I probably need to change mine too, right? I mean, just.
Yeah. I think we're still missing a few too, so current. I don't know. Somebody on the board wants to do a spot check and see if everybody's there.
I'll take care of that.
And reach out to who hasn't.
We'll do. Great. So just a friendly reminder around biographies, okay? And I know we have the GGA presentation listed here as well.
Deloitte, yeah.
Oh, excellent. I see you in the back there. Okay.
Gloria.
Yeah.
We have a space now for Gloria up here.
Indeed. Gloria, would you like to come on up? And if I'm not mistaken, Gloria's president, correct,
yeah.
of GGA, who's actually handling and has handled all of our construction on the building next door. And must say, done a wonderful job. So, Gloria, welcome. And
come join us.
Feel free. Have a seat. Thank you very much.
First of all, I want to thank you, especially for your board, especially for allowing us the opportunity to be the contractor for your renovation project. I remember sitting here, was it only 4 months ago? Saying, I don't know, you know, we really got to make sure that we plan this, you know, very strategically so that Courtney was very adamant that the teachers get to have the space on August the 1st. So that put a lot of pressure on us. It's a very fast schedule based on the fact that We didn't have a permit yet, and you know, we're still working on some things on the drawings. We're still being corrected. So if you remember correctly, I gave, I passed out a a cost summary.
Yes.
And then we executed a contract that night based on the fact that you know, every single thing on the plans you know, was included, and then we discussed, if some of you might remember, we discussed an allowance amount. We had, we carried an allowance and we carried a contingency. So I'll just give you a real quick overview of what allowance really is, if you remember. So in each trade line item, we assume that the architect, and there are a lot of really good architects, we actually had a good one for this one, you hope that they'll think of every single thing that goes on the plan that needs to be included in the bid that goes out to the subcontractor. So I can tell you, I've been doing this for 30 years, that has never, ever, ever, ever happened. If it has, I would be somewhat skeptical because it's impossible, especially in a renovation project like you guys have. So when we went and looked at your space before we started the renovations, you had ceiling tile in, you had doors and frames, you had windows, you had carpeting. So we're assuming, you know, we think what is going to be there is actually there. So we carry an allowance. I think we carry an allowance of like $26,000 to cover any of the items that we couldn't see. So each, you know, some of the line items were like $3,000. Our biggest one that we carried was for HVAC. Pete will tell you, and I do want to just say thanks to Pete, because Pete was amazing, and Courtney, I just want to give her kudos, because in our industry, to have a really successful project, it takes a great project team. If we don't have a good project team, it's usually a really bad project. A great project team is a successful project, and I can tell you that in all the years I've been doing this, I would say between Courtney and Pete that we got the answers that we needed in a timely fashion, and I can tell you that together, collectively, we watched every single penny. And I will give that to Courtney because she would say, I don't know if it's direct dollars for students, and if it makes a difference to the kids, we'll use the allowance for that. And if it doesn't have that, doesn't directly go to the kids, we're not doing it. So I can tell you that was sort of our measuring stick, and every subcontractor on the job by the end of the job knew that that's how it went. So not even asking, you think you might want to do this? But here's the question. Does it help the kids directly? The answer is no, like don't even bother asking because she's not going to go for that. So I can tell you that I'm happy to say, sit here today to tell you that not only did we come under the budget, which we did do, we had allowances left over and we had contingency left over. So there were a couple items that we, Courtney decided to add, especially on the second floor. So there was no money included or even allotted for some renovations on your second floor. I don't know if you're aware of what that entailed. We created a locker room.
Just real quick, that's meaning this particular phase.
Yes. Right. Okay. Okay, so we had money left over in that. So, yes. So
thank you.
Since we had some money left over, there were some things on the second floor that really could be, you know, we had enough left over that we could address those items. Number one, we created a locker room. We actually took a wall out there and created a nice little locker room area. I think the flooring was just installed last week, and I think that's complete. We are going to order some extra lockers, which we included in our leftover contingency. In addition, we fixed the elevator lobbies. We added some extra windows and doors, a little bit of casework. The art room floor was an issue because we thought we were going to use epoxy on the floor, but when we took up your flooring, it already had epoxy under there, and we had to chip that up, and we ended up having to modify the flooring. It looks really awesome. I don't know if you've seen the art room, but really, really pretty.
Very nice.
So I would say, based on the fact that we had the ability to work directly with Courtney, I would say we made maximize what we felt like would be left over. And we still have a little bit left over in the contingency, which we will return to the school. And if you want to use it for something else, you can, but it's a small amount, but to you, every little penny matters.
Every time.
So that is always like the best. I don't always get that opportunity to sit in front of a board and say, you know, we actually came underneath your budget, and we finished a little early. So that is like the best thing ever to say, oh, we finished not only on time, but we're still on time. I have to really say that, you know, having the ability to work directly with them was really important. And that was the reason, I will say, why we came under budget and, you know, finished early. I do think that your space is incredible.
Yeah.
I hope you'll love it as much as we loved it. I mean, everybody who walks in there was just blown away with, and I think it's your vision. I mean, mm-hmm. Courtney was really specific about this is how we want it to look. And if you saw the renderings that were on the first floor, it looks exactly like the renderings. Love it. So.
But better.
I mean, it is better. All and so I hope you'll have an opportunity to walk through as a board. I don't know if you have
it.
It is really, really pretty. And, you know, we are very proud of it. We plan as a company to submit for an award with our trade organizations. There's two of them, and I'm very confident that, you know, we will receive, because your project is not only amazing with the finishes, but the budget constraints were, you know, kept, and that's not, oh, I will say, that's not always the way most projects go.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Just tell me that.
Thank you.
And just to speak to GG&A, Lori was here every Tuesday morning as the president of the company meeting with us and all of the contractors, Pete and I and our project managers on site, as well as Lori, met every Tuesday morning for, from the HVAC to the electricians to the painters. I mean, everybody came together once a week to kind of scope out where we were, what was happening, if there were any barriers. I mean, it was every Tuesday, so much had happened between the Tuesday before, but they were absolutely on site as project managers and as a company. The people that they put in charge here that Pete and I directly worked with were great to our staff as well as being great to their staff, which I think was a pleasant surprise to see them so engaging with our front office staff and our cleaning crews and our there was a level of respect amongst all of the tradespeople and FSMA people and inside, outside people. I mean, there was just this incredible care that was taken for this project that was not something that I anticipated, but was a huge, huge asset that I just didn't know that would be something that we would get. We're like going to miss the people that were here.
I would say, oh, this is such a great project. You know, like, I wish we could continue to meet because it really was. It'll be bittersweet for us because, you know, when you meet every week with a group of people, you sort of start to create a relationship and a bond there. So it's sad to leave, but we're happy that, I mean, what a great, I mean, for me, I feel very happy that, you know, we can give you a space exactly how you envisioned it for the money, the price that we said, and actually for a little savings. So.
And some additional work.
And also, if we could compliment you, you guys were like the Wizard of Oz, though, because it was all happening, and we were in regular
school
session. Everything was happening and kept moving forward and done so beautifully.
Okay.
And never, ever would you have known almost if you didn't, you know what was going on.
And
so
they never complained to us that we make them use this back. So they, because school was in session, we blocked off one outside exit stairway that they had to go up like four sets of stairs to get to the, with all of their equipment and anything,
like
so
that
they never interacted with kids during that. So when school was in session, we had to put in some different parameters. And so, like, literally, we'd get to our 8:15 meetings and everybody would come like, okay, like, give me a minute before we can start. And they never, I'm sure they complained behind the scenes about that quite often. They were glad when school ended and they could use the elevator again. But
I remember that came up, excuse me, as a point of inquiry during your presentation, right, around the impact that could potentially have on school operations, on such a project of that magnitude. And again, we're talking the entire third floor. The demolition chute. I knew we were making progress when I walked up one day off of 9th and I saw the demolition chute was gone. So I said, all right, this is going in the right direction. So no, I personally want to congratulate you, commendate you and your team.
It really was an honor, I will say.
Yeah.
I mean,
collective effort. Thank you very much.
We appreciate the opportunity. So, you know, on your second floor, if you'll remember us again, put this, no pressure.
Well done.
And Lori's coming back to work with our kids in the fall. So one of the other things that we learned is and talked a lot about was being a female-owned company. And one of the things that Lori shared was that, you know, when she started out, she didn't have a lot of colleagues that were, you know, engineers by nature that were female, and how that made it a little bit harder. And so she said, can I come and talk to your girls? Because I want them to see what women in some of these roles look like. I want to expose them to that. So she got us involved with a program that the governor's running around construction companies and projects that our middle schoolers are going to in September.
Awesome.
And then she said she's going to come out and talk to our girls and share with them another avenue that they might just to see different people in different roles.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. Definitely. I appreciate that opportunity because that is one, myself personally, I, you know, as a woman business owner and as an engineer and in the construction marketplace, I'm pretty much it. There's like two other people that I know, but that's about all.
Yeah.
So we need to get to like the middle school kids before they really make their high school, you know, decision. You know, there's a lot of money to be made in construction if you're really good at it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's how I'm going to start out my conversation.
Yeah, right. I think
so
there's,
the
yeah, and there's a, there's, I would also position that there's a benefit for having the young boys there as well,
well
right?
Yes,
so they understand as well, so they take that with them as they grow. I mean, there's a mutually beneficial there, irrespective of gender. So no question.
We're not exclusive.
I get these young guys on board. They gotta understand it's women doing construction and electrician as well. So it's wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Our pleasure. We appreciate the presentation. No questions for me. Anyone else on the board at all around? Just to close on that. Anything pending at this particular time around cleanup, et cetera?
Today, I mean, we still have to do some cleanup, and there's mm-hmm. some, you know, we plan to stick around and sort of help when your teachers first move in that first week.
Okay,
most
great.
Likely, I mean, because you're not our first school, I can tell you that they'll, can you help? I need to hang this bulletin board up. Can you help me with this? I mean, we will. Wait a minute. Did I really say that? We have one person. I mean, we are here to help. You might find that outlet. I mean, I don't know. There's always something. Mm-hmm. We're not going to disappear. So you might find some, as you move in any new space, you might find that,
sure.
that there's something that needs a tweak or there seems to be maybe an outlet doesn't work properly. I mean, we test them all, but you never know.
So there is a post-implementation
yes,
support
correct.
Period
yes.
we're talking
and
about.
And we have a year that we're...
I love that.
You're right. Actually, there's a yeah. full year yeah. that we give you that's a warranty for, and anything that is not correct, you have, like, for our workmanship, and then there's extended warranties for other products, but
excellent.
If you need us, anything happens, you know, Pete has my number,
yeah.
you can call mm-hmm. me, and, you know, we'll happily, and I'm telling you, happily come and help fix, repair, modify, whatever.
Excellent. Lori, thank you
so
and your
nice
team
you.
Very,
thank
very
you.
Much.
Really
we do appreciate it.
It was nice to work with you all.
Cheers.
You as well.
Excellent. Okay. That was our last team. That was our last bullet point on the current agenda. And with that, may I hear a motion?
I'd like to propose an item for next.
Please.
The next,
go right ahead.
I guess it's going to be in September.
Actually, it's a very good point. I'm sorry. Thank you. Yes, it is in September. Go right ahead.
And that is, I know we had some discussion around our policy for public comment and sort of having some sort of a tracking mechanism whereby, you know, we could have some follow-up and feedback on the comments that come in. And I'm just wondering where we are on that and whether it's something that we can talk more about. I don't think it would be respectful of our parent community here if we don't follow up on their comments.
Mm-hmm. So just so I'm clear, you're asking where we stand on that currently, or what's the question?
Yeah, whether we're still having a discussion about mm-hmm. that, or whether the policy's already been revised mm-hmm. And reposted, or you know, just exactly what our game plan is.
Understood. Got it. Thank you for asking that. Mm-hmm. No, what we've already done is engaged. So as an update, we've already engaged, as I mentioned earlier, I always love to talk to our attorneys so when necessary. So we've already engaged legal counsel around that, and they've actually came back with some very good suggestions. Really more at a higher level than anything else. I don't think there was anything in particular that they found necessarily troublesome, if you will, but they did offer some suggestions around language and the proper language and the way to state it, what have you. So that is actually in the process now of being revised, and I anticipate that you'll see it in time for our next September meeting. My pleasure. Any other questions at all? Around
whether
that policy.
September meeting is September 27th.
I was just going to say, great segue, Jed. Yes, sir. September 27th.
27 or 22nd? 7
is what I have. That's what I have on record. But now it's a good time to vet it and make sure that everyone else has the same.
6 o'clock? Maybe. Mm-hmm.
6.
Thursday, September 27th. Right?
7.
Yes.
27 is what I have on the record.
6 p.m.
However, we have our head of school checking school calendar, because as you all know, around these times, and you all understand as well, it gets a little touchy with
back to school
dates.
Right, I think mm-hmm. in the past, the August, September one has been the beginning of September. We don't have one in August. I'm just seeing what's on the calendar. So they actually, as of September, they were all up. So let me just.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Make sure of that.
Do we have that here?
Has it as September 6th. Mm-hmm. And then we also have one on September 27th. So there are actually two in September because they make up the August one.
Okay. So we're gonna.
And they're all, I can see them all on the school calendar for September, October, November. We do not have one. So they are showing up. December is there, January, February, March, April.
This was recently updated.
April is not, that's right. So they go up through March is the last date that Shonda had published.
April was to be determined.
Yeah, so I have up through March is.
Because I'm looking at our meeting minutes as well, updated. But we didn't have a September on this one as well. We've had September 27.
That might have been traditionally like what we had from last year.
I think that was a carryover, I believe.
I can remove it right now.
So just for clarification purposes, and of course, did you just mention, I believe you mentioned September 27th, what you also have posted, correct? On the school website.
Yes, it is.
Excellent, on the calendar. So September 27th, 2018, here in this room at 6 p.m.
Yes, and they are all posted through March. There was I went on today to make sure that they were all posted and reposted them, so a notification went out that they were, and they were showing up twice, so if there was notifications that went out, it was because they were already there when I added them today.
Understood.
My error on.
No, because I remember at the outset of our meeting, my very first meeting, actually, we set out these times going into April as well. So this seems pretty consistent with what we've got recorded in our paperwork here as well. So again, just to reiterate, fourth Sunday.
Amen.
That would be communion, right? No. Fourth Thursday of the month, September 27th, 6 p.m. here, Lower Carousel Room. All right. Any other questions, comments, concerns from our board at this particular time before we hear a motion to adjourn? Should there be none, may I have a motion? Aubrey Phillips, motion to adjourn. Seconded?
Aye.
Angela Angeny, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstention? None. Motion carried. Thank you very, very much for coming out. We appreciate you all, your comments, time, and attention. Thank you very much.
Thank you.